Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, are there any team updates for us?
Team updates coming off of tough loss to Bethel. Again, I've been here since 2013, and they really got that program rolling. It's always interesting talking to Coach Johnson before the game, and his perspective on things. And he's been there 30 years. Very similar. Not a lot of turnover with the staff. A lot of former players that are coaching for him. So they just have a really, really good outfit out there. So I got to tip my hat off to them. Their quarterback, again, we talked about him last week. That little DB that I really liked, number 23, ended up getting an interception. And that was the key to the game. Too many turnovers. You can't go into you can't play very well teams. The team was ranked 16 in the country for a reason. You can't go into those games and turn the ball over and, have a breakdown of special teams with a kickoff return. So, we just got to live. We got to learn and try to get better. And it doesn't get any easier with who we got on the schedule next. So, nobody's going to feel sorry for us. We got to go out and practice well, which we had a decent practice yesterday. We got to practice again today. A little red zone, goal line, short yardage, and then we got to polish it up tomorrow for a really, really good Gusty team, man. So.
Well, you talked a little bit about your thoughts about the game. So let's talk about some specific parts. Bethel looked like they got rolling on you very early on. Is there anything that caused you concern about how they were able to get moving so quickly in the contest?
That's a good, excellent question, fair question. And when you look back on it, I always talk to our guys about gap plays, right? GAP, gap, game altering plays. And, in the early synopsis of the game is you can't throw interceptions. Defensively we get a stop. They quick kick it, we get the ball back, and we throw an interception down there. You can't do that, man. Set up good teams with the field position that they had, and throw another interception. So we just, we got to get the quarterback, our guy Connor, just to settle down and taking care of the football, and that comes from receivers running the right routes, everything. So they got on us because of some self-inflicted wounds that we did to ourselves, man. But, again, nothing to take, nothing away. The kids still had to make those plays, and they did, and we didn't, so.
A tough day for your offense. Was there a message that you specifically had for Connor Levins or for the offense as a whole?
Yeah, positive and negative, right? Usually coming out of the Bethel game, I've noticed, 7 sacks, 8 sacks, 9 sacks. It wasn't the case this time, so that's a positive that, our protection, we held up. We had he got flushed a little bit, but the biggest thing is, making great decisions with the football. Throwing the ball away is okay. I hate to say this, but, sometimes taking a sack is okay. Can't just blindly throw the ball out there. So we just got to get him dialed in and continue to keep coaching and working with the young man. So,
were there players that stood out for you in this game?
I thought our D-line did a really decent job, man. Max Vick, coming out of the game before St. Sko, he struggled with some things, and he got that stuff cleaned up. I thought Chip Kent did a good job at the D-line level. Sam Fritz at the linebacker level played super, super, super tough and strong, and then Zach Griebel from the DBs played really, really well in the back end, man. So there's some things from a positive standpoint. Alec Ralph, again, showed up in a decent way. Tristan Thomas, minus the tip ball that he had for an interception. I mean, he was targeted a lot. So, we did some things. Nico Rocafor running the football hard, O-line paving the way for him. So there's some positives. It's just the turnovers. You can't do it. I don't care if you're at the NFL level, Division III, Pop Warner, you can't turn the football over. So,
well, as you mentioned, you have a very good Gustavus Adolphus team coming in. What do you see for keys in this contest?
Yeah, man, it's this is another program that I always just kind of, when we're not playing them and you watch them, you're like, holy smokes, man, these guys do a great job. They do a good job with their recruiting effort, with the kind of kids that they're getting. And it starts with the quarterback. They're playing a backup kid now. Hats off to the starter, Velman, because we compete against him a lot, and it seems like he's out. So that's, you never want to see a kid get hurt. But the guy that they got playing now, Jake Bryce Bath, I believe it is, number 14. He was a receiver for him, so and now he's the backup quarterback, and he's playing. He's doing a great job of operating offense. He's actually their third leading rusher, so we're going to see a guy like the Bethel guy that can run a little bit. They got two capable Mayak backs, number 2 and number 22. They're good football players, and they got a kid down there that's like an army switchblade knife, man. Like, those old knives where you could pull, like, one thing out,
yeah,
you could pull another thing out. They got a guy down there, number 29. He's, I think his name is Dalton Seelan. He's really, really good football player. They do a lot with him. They line him up at the slot. They line him up at running back. So we're going to have eyes on 29. And they always have tight ends down there. So it'll be a tough contest. Again, you jump on the defensive side of the ball. They got a kid running around, number 16, who, you know, he's a really, really, really good football player. And then they have, you know, like we talked about last week with number 23 for Bethel, a solid corner. They got a kid down there that, you know, I remember watching him play in 2019. I had to find him after the game, Caleb Scott. I like him a lot, man. He's a dangerous corner, very very skilled, can get his hands on you, and he wants to tackle, man. So, you know, we'll have our hands full from a special team standpoint, too, as well, with their kicking game and covering kicks and being careful who we kick the ball to. So they got a good job. Coach Haugen has a good team this year, and we got to go on the road to Mayak and see if we can't slow these guys down and take care of the football and see if we can't come away with a win for the day. So,
you know, it seemed over the last decade or so that they've always had this great passing attack because they have continually used a very similar type of offense, regardless of who the quarterback is. Are you able to look at past film and kind of build your defense around what you've seen from previous seasons, if I can speak correctly?
Sure. if it were the starter Veldman, yeah, you can go back and look. Because they're very simple. But once he got hurt, man, it kind of changed a little bit of what they're doing, man. So, you know, we got to go off of what we see in these last couple games with the new kid in, and that's how we got to operate. You know, we can't go in chasing ghosts. We got to go off of what we see. We scouted them in 30 different formations. So I mean, you know, it's going to be super and super important. You know, we have clean eyes in the back end, as far as our defense and getting ourselves lined up. It starts with getting lined up, so got to make sure our guys can get lined up. So,
well, let's jump into fan questions this week, and we'll first start with Craig, who would like to know, Coach, how long does it take to shake off a bad loss like that? Like, when does Coach T move on?
Yeah, it's tough. Saturday nights are hard, especially, you know. And here's the deal. Here's the reality is, you know, when you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. The issue I always have is when we don't play well. That's what really bothers me, because that's a good football team. Not to say, you know, don't think you can win it. You know, if you play well, anything can happen. But when you don't play well and you don't give yourself a chance, that's what really that'll chew and bother me until sometimes. And I got to be better at it. But, you know, sometimes all the way till Tuesday, till we get back to the next opponent. So with that being said, you know, we had a good Tuesday yesterday. But it's tough when you lose, man. You put so much time and effort, and the kids practice so hard, and then to go out and not play well is just that bothers me. So,
Ronnie would like to know. He says, Coach, have you ever thought about being more hands-on with the defense yourself and being more involved in the game plan?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely more involved this year. And you know, it's about mentoring and coaching the coaches too, as well. We got a good staff on the defense side, Coach Greenwald and Coach Wood and Coach Moonen. But yeah, I'm definitely inserting myself a little bit more as the season has actually started and as we go on. So, absolutely.
Brad asks, he says, Coach, when you are either dominating a team early or being dominated and the game looks like it's out of reach, is that a time you try trick plays or other schemes just to see how your team can implement them?
No, man, we stick to the game plan. We don't grab bag. You know, we have a game plan. You know, you go with the game plan, and you want to execute your game plan. So yeah, I wouldn't say that if a game gets out of hand, especially if you're winning the game. You know, you stick to your game plan, and if it's not turning out in your favor, you know, you got to continue to keep working your base stuff, and because that's what you got to rest on. So no, we don't necessarily say the game's out of hand. Let's start doing trick plays, or we're winning the game out of hand. Let's start doing things out of character, man. The game comes down to taking care of the football, blocking, getting off blocks and tackling. That's what the game comes down to. So,
we have a couple of questions from our good buddy Andre. The first is, big win over Carolina. I don't know if you got to see the game, but the defense looks like they are really shaping into a solid group. What do you think?
Dre, good to hear you, man. I did not see the game. Obviously, I always try to listen to what Coach Sirianni, who's their head coach, I try to listen to him on Mondays. And it sounds like you're absolutely right. Sounds like the defense played pretty decently, and it was good to get a win against. So, you know, I mean, everybody in the NFL is good, so it's not like, you know, there's a bad team. So the win is tough to win in that league. It's tough to win in the MIAC. So, you know, I know for us, man, we got a couple wins, and this those are good wins. So I know those guys are happy, but I think they play Thursday night against the Bucks. So it doesn't get any easier for our Eagles, Dre.
He would also like to know, he says, Coach, would you mind sharing your thoughts on the John Gruden situation? I'd be interested to hear what you think of this.
Wow. Yeah. That's a tough one, man. You know, I'm sorry for, you know, the people he offended. I'm sorry for the Raiders organization, you know, because that shines a light, man. And what we do, especially when you're in that position, man, what you do, what you say, what you email, you know, it represents a whole organization, man. And you know, I'm sorry for Coach Gruden, man, that he felt those things that he said were appropriate, or maybe he didn't, but it got out. I don't know, man. It's just, you know, it's just tough, man. I talk to our players a lot about just having the mutual respect for people, man. I think when it comes down to racial issues and or sexual preference or your political views, man, like, you know, it's not good to talk about those things in the workplace. And you, when those things come up, man, be respectful. You know, you don't, you know. So that's just a little bit disappointing because he's a great, great football mind. You know, I don't know him, but I just know from afar, just watching how he called games and schemed teams up, he was good. But you know, you can't have that stuff, man. And you know, who else? You know, who knows what else is going to come out with? I think I heard something about 600,000 emails, man. Who knows what's going to come up out of that? So you know, you just try to continue to encourage our guys. You know, I talk to them all the time about things you can tweet or Snapchat or email as an 18-year-old kid could come back to bite you at 28 years old. You know, and you know, sometimes they look at me like I'm crazy, but you know, we've got visual evidence of that stuff. So hopefully they're listening and learning. None of our guys will ever end up in a situation like that where you can lose a job. And we talk about that. I talk about that all the time with our guys. So
Omar would like to know. He says, the revelations related to Coach John Gruden have me disturbed, Coach. Here's a guy who was a head coach making racially insensitive comments. Isn't this the kind of garbage, I'll say garbage, he had a different word, that is making it so that black men are not getting a legitimate shot at coaching in the NFL?
Wow, that's a loaded statement question. I think, wow, when you look at the league being about, when you look at the leagues, I think the number is something like 70% of the players are African-American, black, whatever you want to call it, you know, and not a lot of representation as coaches or in the front office. You know, I think that's a lot more where the problem comes in. You know, him making those statements, I don't think, is what's stopping, you know, black coaches from getting head jobs. It's the people who are in the position to hire, that's where the issue comes in. And then obviously, you know, when there are, you know, black coaches that are qualified, you got to be ready to go and to do a good job. You know, like Mike Tomlin got that job, I believe, at 34. Tony Dungy had gotten the job, and those guys did a great job with it. But they were at an organization where structurally things were set up for them, quote unquote, to win. For those guys that have Tony Dungy to be at the Bucks and then go to the Colts, or the, well, I think it was Colts then Bucks, or however it went, and Mike Tomlin to be, you know, as with the Steelers for so long, those guys got to win. You know, so it's a combination of those two things, man. People who are hiring, and then you know, when you get that job, you got to be ready, especially at that level. You got to win right now, man. So, and the guys that have gotten the jobs in the past that look like myself, you don't win, you know, we don't get another chance for the most part. And I hate to say that, but that's the reality. That's what I've seen. And you know, so when whoever, you know, when the next guy, who I think Eric Bieniemy, you hear his name coming up a lot with the Chiefs, man, you know, that's why I'll be pulling for him and following him and hoping that he wins, because you want to see that, and so you know, somebody else, quote unquote, will take another chance, man. So yeah, man, that's pretty loaded, and it's just, I'm just sorry to hear that, you know, that happened, man, the people that he offended. So, and it wasn't just racial slurs, right? Homophobic slurs and, you know, misogynistic, man, you just can't do that stuff.
Coach Taylor, Las Vegas Raiders head coach. I think that's what we should be talking about.
You got my face right now. I just grabbed my stomach and that was good.
I think that would be a good choice. I just want to throw that out there. Paul would like to know, he says, Coach, what is the optimal temperature and weather conditions do you think for football?
Oh, shucks, man. Football weather is 58 degrees. 58 degrees and a little, and just a little bit of sun. That's how you want to play ball on Saturdays. That's it, in my opinion.
Ray would like to know, Coach, if you could have had another first name other than Charles, what would you wish it would have been?
Wow, that's a great question. Good story for you. Growing up in my era, well, I guess everybody listens to this show probably knows who Michael Jackson is. I was a big Michael Jackson fan to the point where I wanted my name to be Michael when I was younger. So I would say when I was younger, probably Michael, but now I love my name. It's my father's name, Charles, and my son's name is Charles. So I mean, that's our name, and I like my name. So
I don't know if she's asking for herself, Coach, but Brandy would like to know. She says, "You've been single now for a while, Coach. What do you look for in a woman, or do you really have time for dating?"
That's a great question, Brandy. First of all, to answer one of it is, not necessarily looking, but it's always about, trying to find somebody that's compatible to you. Somebody that can handle your career. Because what we do, man, you spend more time with the players and your staff during the season than you do with, at home. So, it takes a special woman to be with a collegiate football coach, man. So I have a lot of respect for the guys on my staff that are married, and I make sure that, they have date night on Thursday. They have the ability. Not all of them do it, but we have one coach who I learned a lot from. He dates his wife every Thursday, and I think that's super, super cool, And one of the guys on the defensive staff, I told him, look, man, you need to, date your wife on Thursdays, man. So just having that balance, man, it's about, you being able to be present and leave football at the office, and when you get home, you can turn it off. So for me, it's kind of tough because it's hard for me to turn it off when I go home, So that's a good question. I'm not sure how Brandy even knows that I'm single. I could be dating somebody, Brandy. You don't know that, man. So, I thought that was very fun. She knows Coach Taylor's personal life. That's awesome. I'm not even on social media. How does she know that, man? How does she know I'm single?
Well, let's hope she's not following you around, Coach. So if that's the case. And why is it good to be a Piper this week, Coach?
Well, you know what? It's good to be a Piper another week, right? All the things that we do, you got 52 weeks in the year, and you work so hard, right, just for these precious 3.5 hours on a Saturday. So, we got another MIAC opponent. You get a chance to go down to a great facility. I don't even know if we talked about it, but they have one of the best facilities in the MIAC. I think going down to play in St. Peter's is super cool, and they'll be the first time for just about everybody on our team. Our five seniors have been down there, but none of the other guys have been down there. So it'd be great to go down and compete against a good opponent. And I just want our guys to come out, play hard, play disciplined, all right, and play with precision. If we can do those things, man, we can have a good day. So that's why it's great to be a Piper.
Well, let's welcome Max Fix. Max, thanks for joining me.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, Max, can you tell us a little bit why you decided to choose Hamlin as your place?
Well, I chose Hamlin just because it's pretty close to where I'm from. I'm from Woodbury, so that's only 15 minutes away. I really like the idea of being able to go to a small school where I can have interaction with my professors instead of just being a number in their class. And, I mean, on the football side of it, I knew that I'd be able to play if I were to come here, and I knew I'd be able to see the field, and I wanted to make a change in the program. And, I mean, if you look at our record this year compared to the past couple, we're taking strides in the right direction.
Well, Max, what is your major at Hamlin?
I'm double majoring in business analytics and Spanish.
Wow, and what do you want to do with that one day?
I'm hoping I can go into some kind of sports analytics. I know the sports world is starting to trend that way as far as baseball. Baseball is a big analytic sport, and I know with football, too, it's starting to trend that way. Or even if I'm lucky, I'll be able to travel abroad somewhere and go to a Spanish-speaking country and do something there.
Fantastic. Is there a sport you'd like to focus on in particular?
If I could, I'd do football just because, it's what I play, it's what I love. It's my favorite sport by far.
Now, I know that you had a very successful career in high school as a wrestler as well. Is that something you pursued at Hamlin, or you just have stuck strictly to football?
Hamlin doesn't have a wrestling team, but
okay.
In high school, I liked wrestling a lot, and I think it taught me a lot about the mental side of sports and just toughness. But I don't know if I'd make it as the college guy. I feel like that would be a little bit crazy. Props to those guys.
Well, as you mentioned, the Pipers are off to a great start this season. What do you think have been some keys to the early season success?
Honestly, I think one of the biggest things that has been different this season compared to the last couple is just the chemistry that we've got. I know in years past, I felt like there's just been a disconnect in the team, but it just doesn't feel that way this year. Like, I can go up to any of the guys on this team and just mess around with them, and we're all going to get around or get along and have a good time. And I mean, just that chemistry and just willing to work hard for each other and not giving up when things get tough or we hit adversity, that's been a big game changer for us, I think.
We guys had a bit of a tough contest against Bethel this last week, but the defense has played very well this season for you guys. What do you think have been some keys in the way that you've been able to dominate teams, especially in the first half?
I mean, honestly, for us, every time we go onto the field, we say, just keep swinging. I mean, with a good MIAC team like Bethel, you can either go out onto the field and get hit a few times and tuck your tail and they're just going to keep hitting you, or you can go out there and you can keep swinging. They aren't going to stop swinging. So I think as a defense, we've really taken to heart just going out there and giving all that we got every play, whether it's just so that we can stand a chance or dominate against those guys or just for each other too.
Now, Coach Taylor has talked to me a lot about how well the defensive line has played for you guys this season. I know you've been a big part of that. What is, like, the chemistry like for you guys? How do you guys relate to one another?
Oh, we always talk about how we think the D-line group probably has the most fun out of any of them on the team. We're a real loose group of guys. We're all super close. I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't rather play any position. I think just the chemistry we've gotten there, we're just a bunch of goofy guys. Just to shout a couple guys out, Evan Miller and Isaac Ali, having those two in the same room makes it hard not to be a goofy group or a goofy group of guys. So,
what led you to want to play defensive line, by the way?
I mean, I never really had the option. I came in as a center and I got moved to fullback. And then that same spring, I got moved to D-line and I just never looked back. So it's been a, I'm going to do whatever the team needs me to do instead of I want to play this position. And I mean, luckily enough, I got over to D-line and I like it a lot more than I ever liked offense. So it's just been a blessing to make that change smoothly and actually enjoy it too.
Now you talked a little bit about the interesting dynamic and personalities there on the defensive line. Do you have a fun story you'd like to share with us about the group?
Oh, man. I don't got anything off the top of my head. Just I mentioned Isaac Ali before. He likes to try to outdrip me. So what that means is he just tries to come dressed better than I am. And some of the stuff he's got put on, just you can tell he's trying, but he's not there quite yet. We'd love to give him credit for that.
This week you guys take on Gustavus Adolphus, very good offense out there. What do you look for in this contest for the team?
I think the big thing for us is, I mean, we're going to have to come out there, swing, is it D-line, is it defense especially. Gustavus has always been a good group of O-linemen. They know what they're doing. They're physical guys. So if we can stop the run up front early and shut down what they want to do, I think we can have a very successful day over there in St. Peter.
Now, they have a different guy at quarterback because their starter has been hurt. Any keys to him that you're looking at that you think there's ways you're going to be able to get after him in this game?
Yeah, we've got some stuff planned out for him for sure. We've been watching a lot of film. Got him unlocked. I'm not going to get too deep into it just because I don't want him to hear it if he happens to listen. But if he is listening, we'll see you soon.
Yeah, we don't want to give away any game plans. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Max, each week I have Coach Taylor tell me why it's great to be a Piper. So I'm going to leave that for you. Why is it great to be a Hamlin Piper?
I'd say my favorite thing about being a Piper, it just keeps coming back to it, especially on this team, is just our chemistry. I mean, coming out of high school, I wasn't I wasn't super set on playing football, but after I got to Hamlin, I've just been around these guys for so long, it's so hard to say no to it. They really brought my love back for the game. Special shout out to Coach T for bringing me in too. They've really changed my whole outlook on football. Coach Greeny, he's my defensive line coach. He makes practice fun every day. He accepts our goofy personality, so that's fun. Honestly, just being able to bond with all those guys every day, like, those are my best friends.
That's fantastic. Max Vick, thanks for joining us this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me.